A very important topic that I want to address with you at this point is the phenomenon of egoic resistance, especially self-doubt. As you begin working for your practice clients, you will experience self-doubt. It's normal. When you're accessing soul-level information, your mind has no way of knowing that it is right. Therefore, you have no idea as to whether you are accurate or not until you actually speak to your practice clients. And this freaks the mind out, and that's okay. The reasonable, healthy mind responds to this process with doubt. You see, our whole lives we've been taught that we should have the right answers. All of us have gone through countless exams and quizzes and tests in school, and it was all about getting it right. Our society values being certain and being confident in what we know. Well, the good news is that eventually you will have confirmation of your own accuracy when you present your session to your practice clients. But until then, you really have absolutely no way of knowing whether the answers you're receiving are right or not. So what invariably happens is that the mind goes into the self-doubt. The mind does not like uncertainty. And your mind will absolutely object to getting answers that come from quite literally beyond the realm of thought. It makes the mind feel very insecure, and that is okay. Your mind will doubt its own accuracy. That's normal and healthy. There's nothing wrong. Be in self-doubt, accept self-doubt, but keep going. See, where students make a mistake is in assuming that self-doubt means something. It means you're not doing this work right. You know, sometimes students shoot themselves into trying to feel sure, or they assume that there's something wrong because they're in self-doubt. And the truth is, your mind has every reason to doubt your answer, so don't beat your mind up for doing what it does. Thank your mind for sharing its objections, acknowledge that yes, indeed, you have no idea whether you're accurate or not, and keep going. Whatever you do, do not let self-doubt drive you nuts and into double and triple or even quadruple checking your answers. I mean, that's just a great way of driving yourself crazy. Make a commitment to yourself. You'll ask the question, get an answer, and you will take that answer and move on. Double checking will not give you more certainty. In fact, it'll do the opposite. So please do not let your mind run away with you. Now, let's talk about egoic resistance. So this work dramatically increases your self-awareness as a divine being. It also helps you claim your own power as the creator of your own experience. This work will shift your life's operating system from operating from the level of ego and mind to operating from your new level of spiritual self-awareness. You'll identify more and more as a spiritual and divine being because you'll know exactly what that means for you specifically. But the ego protects itself against venturing out of its old survival-based way of operating through resistance, and this is normal. There's no need for healing or clearing or any other inner work. Most students get triggered by this work at some point, sometimes at the very beginning of your studies, and sometimes not until you're ready to present to your practice clients. This doesn't mean there's anything wrong. It just means you're venturing out of your comfort zone and into growth. It's scary to have ultimate proof of your divinity because then your ego has no more excuses left to play small. Egoic resistance usually manifests itself in a variety of ways, besides self-doubt, which, you know, we already covered. Frequently, it shows up as procrastination. Suddenly, you're always going to study this program tomorrow or next weekend. It also shows up as distraction. When we're in resistance, we let ourselves get distracted and derailed by small life events and totally blow them out of proportion. So, you know, you forgot that you have to go to a barbecue this weekend. Oh, darn, well, there goes the whole weekend. Now you can't possibly study. Or you have a stopped-up kitchen sink. Disaster. Oh, there's no way you can devote time to studying soul realignment now. You know, another trick the ego plays is simple forgetfulness. You'll study this information, and the next thing you know, it's just gone, straight out of your head. And a close cousin of forgetfulness is blank brain. This is when your ego and mind just refuse to think. If you've ever had writer's block and you just stared at a blank page, you already know what this feels like. In our program, it happens sometimes when we start looking up soul stories. And then students go blank and have no idea what to ask next. It's okay. It's not that you're not smart enough to do this work. It's not that you don't understand it. Your ego is just mucking with your mind a bit in order to keep you safe. We have to remember something about this work. It wasn't too long ago that we would have been burned at the stake for doing what we're doing. I mean, being spiritually powerful has not been acceptable for most of human history. And if you're a woman, wow. I mean, we've really never until very recently been allowed to be spiritually powerful. So beyond your whole way of making choices changing, there's sometimes a sense that we get that we're doing something kind of dangerous. It's not uncommon for us to be a bit nervous, anxious, or even fearful when we first start this work. That's okay. We all have lots and lots of past life memories of not so nice things happening to those who practiced spiritual power. So acknowledge the reality of human history if this comes up for you. Happily, nobody's gonna come after us with a pitchfork, but we may still feel uncomfortable, especially when we're a bit in the spiritual closet. You may worry about what the people in your life may think if you come out of the spiritual development closet. You may get a little voice inside of you that says, well, who do you think you are anyways? You're not that intuitive. Spiritual power? Huh, who do you think you are? You know, and all of that is just the ego's survival instincts doing what they're supposed to do, which is to keep you safely within the boundary of what you know. Please don't take any of this as a sign that this work isn't for you. The more resistance you feel, the greater the transformational potential this work actually holds for you. But that's also why your survival instincts can end up kicking up a storm. All your ego is trying to do is alert you to the fact that you're doing something new and that you do not know the consequences of these new choices, which is actually true. So thank your ego for making its misgivings known. Acknowledge how you're feeling, but don't make those feelings important. They are not. They are simply an indication that you're moving out of your comfort zone and into expansion and growth. There is nothing wrong. The way past resistance is to keep going regardless of self-doubt or nervousness or procrastination. Because here's the thing, each time we let the ego stop us, each time the ego keeps us in our comfort zone, our ego gets better at stopping us. I mean, we've all had that experience, right? Where we want to start a new exercise program or diet or write a book. So we're all motivated and inspired. We start, we do great for a few days, maybe a week, and then we start slipping. Next thing you know, all of our good intentions are just that, intentions, but no action. If you persistently allow resistance to derail your studies, you're basically teaching your ego how to stop you, and it gets very, very good at it. Each time you try to overcome resistance and fail, your ego has learned how to keep you safe and in your comfort zone. But the problem is that no growth can occur inside your comfort zone. If you do what you've always done, you get exactly what you've gotten, right? That is very true. It's karmic law as well as just common sense. So acknowledge your feelings. Do not let them govern your choices when you go into resistance. Your feelings are lying to you when you're in resistance. Sometimes we think, oh, this work isn't resonating with me, because we're actually getting triggered and uncomfortable. Of course, we're going to be uncomfortable. You're going to step into a level of self-awareness and understanding that most people never claim for themselves. And it's going to change your life profoundly and for the better. But all your survival instincts know is that change is coming. And that ancient part of us doesn't differentiate between good change and bad change. It just sees change as a threat. Too many highly conscious seekers think that there is something wrong when they go into resistance. But you have to remember that by definition, it is uncomfortable to venture out of our comfort zone. The truth is that you can evolve or you can be comfortable, but you cannot have both at the same time. You cannot do transformation and growth and stay in your comfort zone. It's just not possible. If you are growing, you're going to get really uncomfortable. Now, for some of you, it happens early on, like right about now. For some of you, you won't get triggered until you get further into the program. Some students breeze through because of the high levels of structure can make us really feel safe. And then suddenly, when it's time to present your sessions to your practice clients, resistance just hits. And some students get triggered when we get into the negative blocks and restrictions, and it's all okay. Discomfort is good. It means you're growing. Be uncomfortable, but keep moving forward anyways.